crowd. A sort of calm area or something, like in the middle of a whirlpool. He reached instinctively for his wax tablet and then stopped himself. Man was never intended to understand things he meddled with. "Is he dead?" he said.
"Don't look at me," said Dill, stepping back.
He'd been running through his mind the alternative occupations now open to him. Upholstery sounded attractive. At least chairs didn't get up and walk after you'd stuffed them. 2B bent over the body.
"Look what he's got in his hand," he said, gently bending back the fingers. "It's a piece of melted metal. What's he got that for?"
Tepic dreamed. He saw 7 fat cows and 7 thin cows, and one of them was riding a bicycle. He saw some camels singing, and the song straightened out the wrinkles in reality. He saw a finger right on the wall of a pyramid. "Going forth is easy, going back requires," continued on next wall. He walked around the pyramid where the finger continued. "An effort of will because it is much harder, thank you." Tepic considered this, and it occurred to him that there was one thing left to do which he had not done. He'd never known how to before, but now he could see that it was just numbers arranged in a special way. Everything that was magical was just a way of describing the world in words it couldn't ignore. He gave a grunt of effort. There was a brief moment of speed. Dill and 2B looked around as long shafts of light sparkled through the mists and dust, turning the landscape into old gold. And the sun came up. The sergeant cautiously opened the hatch in the horse's belly. When the expected flurry of spears did not materialize, he ordered auto-cue to let out the rope ladder, climbed down it, and looked across the chill morning desert. The new recruit followed him down and stood, hopping from one sandal to another, on sand that was nearly freezing now and would be frying by lunchtime. "There," said the sergeant, pointing. "See the Tortian lines, lad?"
"Looks like a row of wooden horses to me, sergeant," said Auto-Q. "The one on the end's on rockers."
"That'll be the officers. Those Tortians must think we're simple."
The sergeant stamped some life into his legs, took a few breaths of fresh air and walked back to the ladder.
"Come on, lad," he said.
"Why have we got to go back up there?"
The sergeant paused, his foot on a rope rung.
"Use some common, laddie. They're not going to come and take our horses if they see us hanging around outside, are they? Stands to reason."
"You sure they're going to come then?" said Auto-Q.
The sergeant frowned at him. "Look, soldier," he said. "Anyone bloody stupid enough to think we're going to drag a lot of horses full of soldiers back to our city is certainly daft enough to drag ours all the way back to theirs. QED.
QED, Sarge?
It means get back up the bloody ladder, lad."
Auto-Q saluted.
"Permission to be excused first, Sarge?"
"Excused what?"
"Excused, Sarge," said Auto-Q, a shade desperately. "I mean, it's a bit cramped in the horse, Sarge, if you know what I mean."
"You're going to have to learn a bit of willpower if you want to stay in the horse soldiers, boy. You know that?"
"Yes, Sarge," said Auto-Q miserably.
"You got 1 minute."
"Thanks, Sarge."
When the hatch closed above him, Auto-Q sidled over to one of the horse's massive legs and put it to a use for which it wasn't originally intended. And it was while he was staring vaguely ahead, lost in that zen-like contemplation which occurs at moments like this, that there was a faint pop in the air, and an entire river valley opened up in front of him. It's not the sort of thing that ought to happen to a thoughtful lad, especially one who has to wash his own uniform. A breeze from the sea blew into the kingdom, hinting at, no, positively roaring suggestions of salt, shellfish, and sun-soaked tidelines. A few rather puzzled seabirds wheeled over the necropolis, where the wind scurried among the fallen masonry and covered with sand the memorials to ancient kings, and the birds said more with a simple bowel movement than Ozymandias ever managed to say. The wind had a cool, not unpleasant edge to it. The people out repairing the damage caused by the gods felt an urge to turn their faces towards it, as fish in a pond turn towards an influx of clear fresh water. No one worked in the necropolis. Most of the pyramids had blown their upper levels clean off and stood smoking gently like recently extinct volcanoes. Here and there, slabs of black marble littered the landscape. One of them had nearly decapitated a fine statue of Hat, the vulture-headed god. The ancestors had vanished. No one was volunteering to go and look for them.